are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Damn! What's our intro song?
Everybody.
Well, this is like the drumline version of Monday Night Football.
I like it.
Yeah, you know about that?
It's all revved up.
Like the Southern Bayou.
What's up, AfterBuzzers?
Don't ever do that dance.
Welcome to our Monday Night Football after show. What are we on? Week 12? Yeah.
Is this week 12?
We're on week 12.
All right. Is it?
I am your host, Christina Kaplan. I'm joined by...
Thaddeus Massey.
I like how he had to think about his name.
No, I thought I was going
to change. But I don't have to think about mine. I am Kevin John. Thank you guys so much for watching.
I got the smile.
It's feeling good.
Oh, wait, it's me. Hey, guys, it's
Stephanie. I'm actually smiling at how bad the Jets played tonight.
Oh, yeah. Right. Here we go. Already.
All right, wait, before all of our Jets talk, yes, we have a very special guest today, Mr. Yes. Dale Moss.
Dale Moss.
Yeah.
Hold on. NFL.
Yes.
NFL plan.
Can you,
Dale Moss.
Can you let me introduce him?
I'm sorry.
Gosh, okay. Thank you. Yes. Free agent, wide receiver, baller over here for the Jets. If you need someone to help you, clearly, you should call up Mr. Dale here, because we know that.
All right, so let's talk about that right now.
He stands at 6'3", 215, and he runs up. What's your 40 time? What you run a 40?
4.38.
He runs a 4.38. Oh! That was mine back in the day. Okay, he's got some wheels.
We'll take you.
Okay.
And also, you coming with me.
He's also a supermodel as well. You guys may not know about that. He currently is doing Beckham's underwear line. So, ladies, make sure you Google that.
See, that's where you're going to go.
Yeah, jack of all trades.
That makes me nervous.
Why?
Because as soon as Sanchez started doing GQ,
but look at Dale compared to Mark Sanchez.
I'm talking about nothing to do with looks. I'm just talking about mixing the two.
Hey, brother got to eat, okay?
No, I get it.
Thank you.
My question
gotta
is,
eat. Thank you.
Wait, time out. You brought up the Jets to begin with. You said you'd sign with them. That's my question. And if you can't answer it because this is maybe an inappropriate question, just tell me, and that's fine. But as a free agent, do you feel like, would you say yes to any team?
I mean, there's certain things that, I don't want to say you say yes to any team, but when you're trying to get back in the league, you know, it's not like you can just go try out for somebody. I've been fortunate to have good representation and have, you know, a lot of interest from teams. It's a waiting game. And then, you know, a lot of players, they have to weigh what they have going on outside of football. When you are a free agent, you know, you have different things come up. It just depends how much effort and, you know, what you have going on outside of it. And it's just that, you know, give and take. Do you want to let go of this or go for that, you know? My position, I've got a lot of positive things going on outside of football, but that's where my heart's at, you know? So football, you know, is I train still, I'm training every day and just making sure I'm ready. So that's where I want to be, is on that field.
Now, out of curiosity, how much, obviously we know that it is a talent-based, you know, sport, especially being a receiver, it's a skilled position. How much would you say, politics goes into, you know, who lands with what team and who gets picked up? I mean, if you could give us the
nitty-gritty. We just came out with a big gun.
Oh, no. Honestly, there's so many talented players. There's a ton of talented players who aren't playing right now. A lot of it is really getting in the right place at the right time and then staying healthy. You know, that's the biggest thing. And as, you know, one mistake can kind of affect your career in a negative way, having one good play can really put you in the right position. And, you know, what a lot of fans look at as well is, obviously, you know, great players make plays, and you know, schematically too. That's what football is. You know, it's a game of smarts too. So if you're put in good positions, it allows you to have, you know, good success as well. But politically, you know, people are people. So you know, those relationships are valuable. But if you're making it happen on the field, you're going
to
play.
That's move just, the mic closer to your mouth. I think we have some feet. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Got a little better.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. If you're making plays, you're going to play. So there's just no getting around it. So that's got to be every player's focus. Just make sure they're producing.
You guys ever watch Key and Peele?
Yes.
And you know they do that Obama and Leroy thing where one of them does Obama and then the other one.
One.
You ever seen that skit? Well, they do a skit where one of them is Obama. And then hold on, I'm going somewhere with this.
Steph's like, what's that? Listen,
very interested. And what do you have to say?
So one of them does Obama and then the other one is Leroy, his alter ego, who really says what Obama is really saying behind being the political guy. So right now, I'm going to let him be Obama, and I'm going to be Leroy. And I'm going to say, hell yeah, there's effing politics in football. There's politics in sports. It just, he gave a very good answer. This guy, you should run for office one day. Because he had two good diplomatic answers. And they're, hell yeah, there's politics. It's worse politics in sports because the lifespan is so short. And you're a freaking gymnast. You're a grandma by the time you're 18 years old. So think about how much time you have to actually accomplish anything.
Thaddeus, I think this is the most fired up we've ever seen you on this show.
What are you talking about? I'm fired up all the time.
Okay, well, you mentioned Dale being a jack of all trades. You also, in case you guys didn't know this, played basketball at South Dakota State. Is that right?
Yeah, I was a basketball player for 4 years. I only played one season of football. I only played 8 games. I didn't play our first 3 games in college, football.
The one or the two?
I came in as a point guard, and I finished as a 3. So, but I kind of played all
agile.
Over the field,
so. Right.
Yeah. I like to play above the rim a little bit.
Hops.
First love, for sure. I don't know. Then I missed football. Went out, ended up having some success, and you know.
So when you were in college and playing basketball and doing your thing on the court, you know, what made you want to go back into football? You know, because obviously, you know, you were a pretty dude, you know, you on the court. What made you want to put back on the freaking
cover up the mug?
You said
just,
that out loud.
You know,
he just
the
said you
on.
A pretty dude.
You said that out loud.
Yeah, no, I was like,
oh. You know, I mean that in a very.
It's okay. I feel uncomfortable now.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Kevin makes us feel uncomfortable every single day, so don't worry about it.
All right.
That's what I'm here for.
It's probably
going
to happen a couple more times in the show.
All right. Well, I've got thick skin, so I think I'm all right.
Good.
And I'm fast, so if I got to get out of here, I'm
4.3 speed.
Yeah. But, you know, basketball is my first love, but football, I was recruited, and, you know, during my whole basketball span in college, the football coaches still wanted me to play. And it was something that I could never go back to do if I passed up that opportunity. I could have signed with an agent and played basketball overseas or something like that, but I could never go back and play football. So I never wanted to look and be like, what if? Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, the biggest reason was because people said that there's no way I would have success in football after sitting out that long and playing. And for me, that's like kind of how I approach anything. Like, why not? Like, I feel like I can do anything I want to. You know, it's just about being able to devote that time. So,
of course.
Can you coach the Jets to a winning franchise?
Oh, my God.
Why not?
Hey, you know, well, they currently have a coach right now, but if the opportunity presents itself down the road, you know, maybe I'll have to try to tackle that one, too.
So do you miss basketball at all?
Yeah, I miss it. I love it. You know, basketball was my first love. You know, I would say, obviously, right along with football, you know, hand in hand, two favorite sports. And I think the reason, you know, the biggest adjustment I had to make was in basketball, I could make an impact on the offensive side and the defensive side, you know, or, you know, even if I wasn't scoring, I could have a really big impact on the game.
Right.
Football's so segmented, which is tough, and that was the toughest thing for
the
me
patience.
To yeah,
yeah.
Like you have your offense, your defense, you know, special teams, and, you know, there's 6-7 different units in different meeting rooms, and you come together during practice. You're really only together for a few hours a day when you're really at the facility for about 8 or 9.
I wanted to ask him, energy-wise, how do you feel as far as the difference in energy? Because, you know, when you're playing basketball, you know, you don't have helmet syndrome like football players do. And, you know,
what's helmet syndrome?
Well, it's like, you know, the ball players, they go out, they pop more bottles, they wear more jewelry, and they play football because no one can see their face.
Oh.
So it's the recognizability, whereas basketball players, you see them performing. You see their face. You recognize them while they're playing.
So that's what you would say Johnny Manziel has, helmet syndrome?
No, everybody knows Johnny Manziel.
He's just an idiot.
I disagree.
That's another conversation. I disagree too.
Okay.
Let's talk about that later because it's news.
But real quick, I want to know, what's the difference in feeling of the energy and rush between basketball and football away from your passion? Just like, because you have way more people on a football field, obviously.
Yeah.
But then, of course, in the basketball arena, it's the people are like right there.
It's more intimate.
They're right there. Plus, it is more intimate. Plus, you don't have the helmet on. So you have that relationship going on. What can you, like, give us an insight on
basketball,
the
you know, and there's so many momentum swings, which so you're getting energy like the whole game, and you know, like whether it's making a big block, you know, dunking on somebody or something, there's nothing like that. But when you break it down and you're in front of like 80,000 90,000 fans screaming, and like especially when you're in a dome most of the time,
yeah,
you literally can't even hear yourself think.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. You know, they're different. You know, I can't pick one over the other of what I like better. One thing I do like, you know, with football though, is like this, and truthfully, is the following as far as a city and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's unreal. You know, Chicago, great sports city all around. But football, I mean, they love their Bears.
So the Bears are stronger than the Bulls following. Why is it
not in the
90s?
Not in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like,
that's true.
I would say, you know, I would say yes, because the Bear, like, football, it's just, you know, in America, football really does rule. It runs things. Like, the NBA is right, you know, it's close, but football affects so many more people.
Right.
And, you know, it's got a lot of history and stuff, but.
And that's why I played football.
Yeah. It's a
that's
great
the only
sport.
Reason why.
It was the number one sport.
Well, I play because I was actually good in it. But anyways, we're not gonna...
You guys are both crazy.
Yeah, speaking coming from someone who was never in the NFL, you're
no,
saying
he went
that
to the Hall of Fame.
You
couldn't see me on the mic. Remember the other night? They
remember my statue
anyway,
and shrine.
You can
like,
see the power of football. She's wearing a Jets sweater.
Yes,
a Jets hoodie.
That's true. If the Jets were a basketball team,
she
would
she's
not
true.
Be wearing that.
True
that's
fan.
Not true. I just, that's not true. If I mean, I think that what I think to you know, attribute to what you're saying or whatever the word is, I feel like football is more of a family sport. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's from generation to generation. Although I have to say, nowadays, and this is why I'm not a fan of fantasy football, and I know everybody likes it, whatever, but I think that nowadays that people, like, my nephews, right, like, they're Giants fans. For my nephew's birthday, he wanted a Dallas Cowboys jersey. It's like because they see Dez Bryant, because they have them on their fantasy team and they're doing good. It's like they don't know what it is to go through the agony of being a fan of a team. Because no matter what, every team at some point loses a game, wins a game. You feel that emotion for a team. And now if it's you have a fantasy team, it's kind of like the emotion is spread thin. So that's why I'm not a fan of
I'm glad you brought that up because
you
I just
most football players I've encountered, like NFL players, do hate it.
Yeah,
I don't really find anyone.
There's
that
actually
likes
a surprising
it.
Amount that play fantasy football.
Yeah.
They do.
You know, the NFL rule is like that. You can't have more than like $100 in a pool or something. But it's not about the money from that standpoint. But the reason I don't like fantasy football is because being a player, and then obviously, you know, from a fan standpoint, or like, then people try to tell you, like, oh, you're not doing your job because you didn't give me these points. Or like, they're all of a sudden an expert because they have, you know, the Ravens defensive line that just, you know, murdered the
Saints.
The Saints offensive line tonight or whatever. So I'm not a fan of fantasy football.
No,
I you know, obviously it's good. It gets people interactive, you know, and it draws them into the sport and makes them, you know, more aware. But
it is. It's almost the lazy fans' way. They know, like, it's the same thing. Like you just said, I have all these friends that never have talked to me about football. Now they have a fantasy team, and they're like, yo, I got this one, I got that.
They're
I can't
general
believe
managers.
Went
they're GMs now.
And it's just like, you don't know anything
okay,
about football.
Let me tell you why this has happened. This is part of the reason why.
Money.
It all starts from the fact that teams started being unloyal to their players, and then players started returning the favor and started just going for whatever big contract. So now people, some people are fans of a team or they just like that player and they don't like the team. So now it's like, okay, how do we monetize this? Fantasy football. Now fantasy football is a big thing. You can be a fan of a team. You can be a fan of a defense. You can be a fan of a player and not even be a fan of that particular team, but just be a fan of that player.
Right. That's
and
that's why saying, fantasy football, because
it's all about money.
Crap.
It is.
Well, I want to speak to, before we get into Monday Night Football, to what Steph was saying earlier about, you know, not knowing the agony of being a true, like, fan of a team. For me, growing up in L.A., obviously, there was no football team when I was alive. Or when I could remember.
The Rams or the Raiders?
I was born in 88.
She's five.
Quit lying. You were born in 73. Don't lie to everybody that's watching. I'm
no,
joking.
I was actually...
That's even better because she looked damn good for being born in 73.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that, Thaddeus. But anyways, so that's how I am. Yeah. That's how I feel towards the Lakers. Obviously, we had a lot of really good years, and we really are sucking right now, but... I'm still going to be a Lakers fan. I'm still going to root for them no matter what. I will never start rooting for the Clippers or
It doesn't matter that the Lakers suck right now. The Lakers have banners. The Clippers have selfies.
What I'm trying to get at is the difference of somebody growing up in a city that didn't have football at that time period that I was alive. You know, for me, NBA basketball was always my number one thing.
Right, but the person
Dodger
that grows up...
Well, yeah, I love the Dodgers, too.
The person that grows up in a city that doesn't have a football team, I bet you has some other team they like. I mean, and again...
USC, UCLA.
Wait, but time out.
Yeah,
and again,
see, I didn't care for either of those.
Wait, time out.
One more. Ooh. That's all that there was,
Can't
though.
Even get my point
Go ahead,
out.
Steph Z.
What I'm trying to say is, which I forgot now... No, it's that sugar. No.
Sugar.
If you don't have a team.
We love sugar.
Like, if you don't have a team in your city, people pretty much have a team. This is what I was going to say. You were born in 88, so you're young. So for people like you that have all these internet and these fantasy things, I think it's just, it's a time thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we didn't have fantasy football. That's why we were fans. Maybe if when I was your age or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, fantasy football, maybe if that's all I knew, I would like it. So I think it's also just a trend of the way things are going.
No, I agree, and it promotes people rooting against their team. Because, for example, I had somebody playing. I had someone on my fantasy team that was playing against the Chargers the other week, and I was like, "No, don't!" You know, getting mad at my team for scoring and wanting this team to score. It's like, you know, and then I'm like, "No, that's my, like I should not be rooting against
my team."
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
And that's what happens when you start playing fantasy football: is you root for that team that you have your player on, and you have no allegiance to that team.
A lot of the fans, they're well educated because of it too.
Right.
You know, which is a plus. That's a win-win for the NFL. So, you know, we're talking about like on a scale of how big it is.
Right.
Fantasy football and just everything with the marketing and all that. Like that in itself just shows you what a powerhouse the NFL is. And then also, you know, you have 53 men on an active roster. Just think of how many families, friends that touches compared to, what is it, 12 to 14 on an NBA roster active.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's you know, you think of fantasy and the fact that it enables these players to make these, I guess, executive decisions and whatnot. It makes me think of like, okay, Madden, all right? Madden or video games.
Did I move your mic again? Sorry, technical difficulties, guys. There you go.
There we go.
Mic is messing up.
There you go.
That mic always plays around.
I'm just failing on the show today. I'm embarrassing myself.
No, you're good. You're good.
Oh, my God.
No, the headphones are
off. I think I'll take you on the jet.
I think Kevin is embarrassing himself.
Let's get into the Monday Night Football game.
How about that, guys?
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
The Ravens won. They beat the Saints 34-27. It was a really good game. You know, ice up, son. Steve Smith throwing blood and guts.
Smith Sr.
I love Steve Smith.
Kevin. Talk about me again.
Kevin just turned up the volume in my microphone because he thinks it's funny. He's like five.
Oh, wait.
Can you turn it back down?
Time
it's
out.
Too loud.
While you guys are fixing your microphones, me and Daddy's had a fun time watching the games tonight. We met this really cool guy, Bo. It was his birthday.
Bo.
Happy birthday, Bo.
Happy birthday, Bo.
He was, you know, in this weird situation with his ex. He told us a little bit about his life. We want
okay.
to do that. It was a really nice guy. We had that girl just kick her out. But He was really nice, and we told him we'd give him a shout out. So there you go. Happy birthday, Bo.
So is Bo watching?
Shout out, Bo.
Bo is watching.
Okay. Bo.
Thanks, Bo.
The
for
Big
2 watching.
5. The Big 2 5.
They say, Bo knows.
Bo knows.
Bo does right. know. Anyway, that was it. I promised I had to do it. Go.
So, as we were just talking about Steve Smith, Dale, you mentioned you really like him.
I just think, like, you know, as far as a competitor and a teammate, yeah. like, how could you not want to play with someone like that?
Exactly.
And he's, you know, Baltimore is such a good fit. When they signed him, I was excited. I was like, yeah. you know, because in Carolina, they were saying he was on his way out and, you know, different things going on. And to see a player of that caliber having fun again, it's like I thoroughly enjoyed watching the Ravens tonight because, you know, despite the score, they dominated the game.
Yeah.
And just seeing a guy like that, like, you know, work as hard as he does, but he's himself. He don't care. He's going to get in his face. You know, he got in it with Kenny Vaccaro. Mm-hmm. That's him, but he's having fun. And that's good to see.
Yeah, I love him. I think he's so great. I don't know if you guys watched his post-game interview. Why are you laughing?
Nothing.
Okay, anyways. Did you see his post-game interview?
Yeah, I checked it out for sure.
I was dying laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
He's just like, like you said, he's himself. He says whatever he wants. He doesn't care. And he even said that when the Ravens, like, called him in, you know, said they wanted to sign him or whatever, they said, you know, we want you to be yourself. And he's like, perfect. I want to do that, you know.
Guys
and maybe
feed off it. Right.
You can actually read his lips a couple times. He said a couple things after that fight.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah. He'll say whatever he wants to whoever.
Do you guys know when he started donning the Smith Sr. on the back of his
jersey? When he went to the Ravens.
When he went to the Ravens.
Yeah.
Okay. There's another Smith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another Smith.
Torrey Smith. He's a receiver.
He's the other. Yeah.
Okay.
He was the other one that scored. We saw that.
So, but Steve Smith, he has a son, Steve Smith Jr. Why is he also Smith? Is it because he has a son?
He's got a little guy,
right?
A little guy, yeah.
Okay, I think that's great. I think that's awesome that he's actually.
Thank you for that bit of critical family information.
I don't think he would have changed his jersey if there wasn't another same last name on the team, though. Just so you know.
I think it's cool that he would have done it regardless.
Now, I was going to say, in regards to what you were saying, you know, we all know, obviously we know Steve Smith is a very emotional receiver. He's emotional. And, you know, a lot of times people like that, but we've also seen that the history, you know, the league has a history of having outspoken receivers, mm-hmm. you know, that have been cancerous to their teams. So when you look at somebody like Steve Smith, who is a great baller, don't get it twisted, and at 35, he's doing things that our people 25 in the league aren't doing.
Right.
But can you see that potentially as a problem for the Ravens as they get deeper and deeper into the season, potentially the offseason?
No, I don't. And, like, the thing is, he doesn't bash his teammates. He doesn't bash his players. If someone's on the other side of the ball, he'll call them out. He'll say whatever. And, you know, if there's something that he doesn't like, you know, maybe there's some stuff that's voiced, but he doesn't tear down. And, you know, those players on his team, if anything, he tries to build them up. And he's a warrior. So, mm-hmm. You know, people are going to listen. And he's out there sacrificing his body, you know, flying around, trying to make that extra block. Guys are going to feed off that. And, you know, when you talk about a mentality of a team, that's what the Ravens are, you know. That's how they've won Super Bowls, and that's how they're going to continue to get back there. Obviously, they have talented players, too, but it's that swagger and it's that, you know, that meanness as well. So
I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, he's a very scary-looking player.
See, that's why I don't like the Ravens.
Well, the AFC, he mentioned, too, the AFC North. He said the AFC North as the NFC East, it's like big boy football, I think that's what he said. Like, yeah. All those teams in those, yes, in those divisions, it's like gritty grind, like, it's tough.
It was like
football.
A hockey fight we saw tonight. It wasn't like a football scuffle. It was like almost a straight up hockey fight.
Right, I think you see that in any division. You know, you'll see the grind, the emotions.
I don't know. You see the helmet, you see the push, but this was like, to me, it was different. It seemed more like a hockey fight.
Yeah, it's a little more, yeah, you know, smash mouth.
Yeah.
A little more smash mouth football.
Which is lacking in the NFC South.
Yes.
As you'll probably have a team that's like 6-10 that makes the playoffs this year.
Well, that's
NFC
what they
South.
Were saying as well, is like they calculated in the likelihood of a team making it to the playoffs at 5-11 is like really high.
That's
insane.
Yeah. I mean, if you win that division, you're in. So
exactly.
Well, right now the Falcons are leading.
They're what, 5?
Aren't
and,
the
or
Saints?
Four and,
nobody's at 500. Everyone's below 500.
Yeah, they're all below 500.
Yeah, it's Falcons, Saints, Carolina, and then Tampa Bay. Even Tampa Bay at 2-5. whatever they are. They're in contention. Wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are two games out. I think they said two games back or something ridiculous
like that.
They'll
be first rounding out.
But you know what? You know, it kind of reminds you of, I think I said this before, when the NFC West was a weak division about 3 or 4 years ago, and you had the Steelers that made the playoffs with a 7-9 record, and then, funny enough, took out the Saints in the first in the divisional round. So,
right.
You know, you never know what can happen. I don't think a losing squad has ever made it to, like, the, you know, the conference championship game, but, you know, it'll
so
be
So is what you're saying, the Jets still have a chance? Just kidding.
What I'm saying is, can we have like a, you know, a certain word you say, and they're just like poison words?
Just so you know, Dale, it always comes back to the Jets at some point or another.
And the Niners every other time. Every third time. I can't believe we're 25 minutes in,
and we haven't heard the 49ers out of your mouth.
Because the thing is, I don't have to talk about it. They're dominant. My team does the talking for me. See, your
what's
team doesn't talk very well.
What's the record right now?
We're 6-4.
That's not quite dominant.
That can't be right because we just had week 12.
Bye week. They play on Thursday versus Seattle, right?
They play this Thursday.
There's three games.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Are you going to tell me the record of my team, or are you going to let me continue?
But that's not a dominant record.
I just did the math and questioned it.
If they're like 7-3 or 8-2.
Actually, you're wrong. They're 7-4.
I know. I was making sure somebody was paying attention. That's all.
Are you going to tell me the record of your team? Yeah, I'm going to tell you because you're wrong.
Okay, first things first.
Anyways, we don't want to talk about the 49ers.
Y'all brought it up. Y'all brought it up.
No, so let's get back to our Monday night football game that y'all we barely spoke about.
So as you can see, we are in well, and I think Fantasy Guru actually was talking a little bit about the Niners as well. Seriously. And, you know, I'm going to say this.
Did you call her Nancy Drew? Wait, what just happened?
I missed something.
He said he's still going.
Oh, he's still going. I thought you were really going to get back to Monday Night Football.
I mean, I'm trying to.
I'm so lost right
Anyways,
now.
Okay. We were talking about the NFC South and how horrible it is. Tonight we saw the Saints play. I mean, we'll start with you, Dale. You remember the Saints used to be a team that, compare kind of like the Seahawks were last year, where no one could beat them at home.
Yeah.
And you see then this season, they really, I mean, do you think that they finally just lost that home field dominance?
I don't think they've lost the home field dominance at all, because, you know, that's an unreal place to play. Injuries, you know, that's a big thing. Their secondary is beat up. They're struggling. They got to figure some things out for sure. Like I said earlier, despite the score, they got handled pretty easily tonight. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees, whenever you have him on the offensive side of the ball, anything can happen, but you have to protect him. You know, when he gets pressured, it throws him off his rhythm, and, you know, as a quarterback, he's still trying to make plays, so that's tough. But I don't want to say that they've lost that home field advantage. I think that they've got a lot of injuries. They've got receivers and stuff that are coming back. They don't really have a go-to guy. Colson, obviously, is the career leader and our franchise leading receiver, but they just got to get guys healthy and really figure things out. But you know, you talk about playoffs, if they get there, they're a team that can knock off anybody. So it's just about figuring it out before that time, because the season's winding down.
Yeah. He threw that one pick six to Hill, and you know, that's not something that's really reflective of, you know, Breeze's elite status. Was that really a protection thing, or was he, I can't remember if he was like being hurried to pass that.
He threw it behind Jimmy Graham on that one a little bit, but whether it was the pressure on that play, it's from the pressure that got to him before. Because you got that clock going off in your head, like, I got to get rid of it. And if you're not necessarily completely set or comfortable, sometimes it's going to come out the wrong way. So, when he can't get into a rhythm, there's going to be throws that happen like that. And Hill made a great play. A big play in the game.
And, you know, the funny thing is, if you look at Drew Brees' stat line at the end of the game,
yeah.
I don't think is necessarily reflective of someone that sucked. You know, 35 for 45, 420 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that if you just look at that, you're like, man, this dude just dominated the other team.
Yeah.
And, you know, granted, some of those passes were, you know, 5 yard drops to running backs and things of that sort. They weren't all downfield. But I think, honestly, and they did this a little bit tonight, but you have to utilize Jimmy Graham more. Jimmy Graham only had
six receptions
for 47 yards. Now, he did have those two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, one of those touchdowns came in pretty much the end of the game when it really didn't matter anyway. But, you know, that's your big play guy who also came from playing basketball as well. But, you know, my thing is when you have arguably the best tight end in the game right now, I feel that you have to find any way possible to get the ball into his hands. And I just did not see a lot of that. I mean, red zone, yeah, you saw them taking a lot of, you know, going to Jimmy Graham a lot, but you just have to get him involved.
Especially because they even made a point to say that the Saints, well, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily any offensive issues, though. I mean, yes, they're up without Brandon Cooks. But other than that, who else are they missing offensively?
I think, like, biggest thing with that is, you know, protection. Because the Saints, they're going to throw the ball, you know. And if you protect your quarterback and give Drew Brees time, it's going to open up a lot of things because you have to change your scheme. And he can make checkdowns. He has time to go to his second option. Because every play has a read, whether it's built in for cover two on this side and a cover three beater on this side. And when you can't check your, when you can't check those different reads in the progression because of pressure, it makes it tough. And, it just throws the offense off. Their offensive line is obviously struggling. So, they've got some guys who haven't played huge minutes, I guess. And taking one receiver out of a rotation changes it for everybody, you know, which it makes a difference as well. But I just think that they just got to figure it out up front, because that's where it always boils down to: offensive and defensive line. They control the game.
Yeah, I mean, because you saw Drew Brees. Obviously, we know he's an amazing quarterback and can throw bombs down the field and connect with his receivers like nobody else in the league. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that probably was the biggest factor for them, because like you said, Kevin, obviously you look at his stats and it's like you would never think that that was the losing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, throwing for 420 yards.
But you know, the rare thing with Brees, I'm so sorry, Steph. Okay. Actually, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay, I'll go. The rare thing with someone like Brees or somebody like I know you're waiting for it. Or someone with like Manning, pass happy quarterbacks, or I don't say pass happy, but prolific quarterbacks, you know, you'll see similar things with Peyton. You know, Peyton will go 35 for 40, 45 or something, throw for 300-400 yards and still lose. And I think part of the reason is because with quarterbacks like that, a lot of the offense relies heavily on their shoulders and doing. So, you know, it's understandable how he can put up incredible stats like this in a loss. But I still think if you have a quarterback that's throwing for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, then something, there's a crackdown somewhere. You shouldn't be losing ball
games. There's definitely a breakdown.
There's no running.
You can't establish a run, you're not going to win that game.
Speaking of running the ball, you know the biggest run of the night was from wide receiver, which was from Morgan on the end of the round.
He had the end of round. For 67 yards.
And that was the most rush yards they had the whole game. So that
They rushed for 128 yards, and the Ravens rushed for 215.
Real quick, before we move on, I want to go back to Drew Brees, because me and Thaddeus were talking while we watched the game tonight. Do you guys agree with us in we were saying that Drew Brees is kind of an underrated quarterback, though? Like, you think of it, like, is he in the same conversation always with the Peyton Manning?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think it's unknown. There's four quarterbacks at the top of the ranks. And
Who are they?
Touching them right now. I think, like, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees,
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
It's those four, and like not taking away anything from like Cap or like Russell Wilson and those guys, but those four have been doing it for so long, and you know any of these quarterbacks are going to agree with it too, that they're just at a level that cannot be touched right now.
But is it because Drew Brees doesn't have the same supporting cast?
On a good day, I would throw Andrew Luck in that too.
But he's too young. These guys
are vets. And what me and Steph were talking about, it was just like amongst the elite, how it's almost like
and under being underrated amongst the elite, just within the skill set of him being him himself.
I don't agree with that.
To do with his supporting cast. I mean, we're talking about his supporting cast hasn't been.
I never hear people not mention his name when they speak of elite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not always.
You're saying within the elite ranks of those four, he gets lost in translation.
Exactly.
Those records, you got to look at records. All the other quarterbacks are on winning teams right now.
You can mention somebody. It's not really that he's mentioned. It's almost like how sometimes. It's kind of like he's breezed over. No pun intended. But you know what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of, he is almost like when you start talking about when you're talking about the elite, it's kind of like, you got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, you got Drew Brees too. And then you got, you talk like that. Aaron Rodgers is killing it. But they're kind of just like Drew Brees.
Well, yeah,
I think he's much better than they give him that, you know.
But you also have to look at this. When you look at Manning and Brady, particularly postseason, those people are gods in the postseason. I mean, every postseason, the last decade or so. Rodgers, he's still kind of the newer bunch out of the Brady and Manning.
The elite.
Because they've been in there significantly longer than him.
Right.
But I think really it's more postseason. The deeper you go in the postseason.
The postseason success.
Postseason really validates your eliteness.
Especially as a quarterback.
As a quarterback, So, right, Drew, go ahead.
Sorry, but even when the four of us went and we talked about our top three quarterbacks, I don't think anybody put Drew Brees in there.
We didn't.
Not one of us said
that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm saying. It's totally within, we know he's an elite quarterback.
He needs more endorsements.
But if there's four, he's number four.
Is he Levi too?
No. So that's what we're saying.
He's
rated in that class.
And Dale hit the nail on the head by saying those other three quarterbacks are on winning teams. That is why they're spoken about with a higher mark than Drew Brees is right now. If you rewind a couple years when the Saints were dominating everyone, he would have been probably thought of as the number one, number two quarterback.
But also, you got another thing. Another reason
and then
I think
they lost the coach for a year.
Yeah, they did. Bounty scandal. You wonder.
That was the beginning of the
fall. Because once Sean Payton was gone that year amid the bounty scandal allegations
bounty
or accusations,
gate.
Whatever it was, Bounty Gate, I don't think the Saints, when he returned, they never quite rebounded
from
that. They have not been the same, you know, and they haven't marched in the same.
That was a joke.
Nope. What was that?
That was a joke.
What, their
bounty thing was a joke.
Well, we're not going to get into conspiracies.
It's not a conspiracy. It was a joke. It was like, you go knock this guy out, I'll give you.
I was just saying with, the Saints offense, one thing that goes unseen a lot of times is the staff that's behind it. And this is going to transition into, with Baltimore too, but Aaron Cromer, who's now at Chicago, he's a great offensive coordinator, great offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago last year had one of the best offenses in the league, once he came, obviously Tress and everyone is there too. And then you talk about something like with the Ravens, Kubiak, who came from the Texans, who had an amazing run game down there. And, obviously he had a rough year his last year there. But changing the run game without Ray Rice. Forsett was, unreal today. But the offensive line did a great job. So those are also things that you got to look at, too, that, a lot of people don't really pay much. Because you don't hear a lot about the staff changes. It's mentioned in the media one day and then it's gone. But, the coaching, it's all schemes. And that stuff, it makes such a difference, too.
Speaking of Ray Rice... I know that he's pissed after watching tonight's game because he definitely, he's like, they're not going to take me back. Forsett is balling.
I don't think they're going to take him back regardless.
No, I know they were. But it's like,
clearly they're still performing.
Forsett, he balled his little tail off tonight. I got to give it to the guy. He did his thing. He was hitting those seams. I mean, the line, as you mentioned, Dale, their line was doing their thing tonight as well. But he was hitting some of those seams really, really tight, and he was patient. He squeezed through, and then he just bounced and just rolled out.
And you got to give him credit also for his runs.
Yeah, I was saying, in addition to patience, you know, and being able to elude defenders, you know, some of his yards after contact, you know, after the first defender came or whatnot, he was able to pack on a lot. And this was just crazy. The stat that I noticed, but he averaged 8.3 yards per carry tonight, which is unheard of.
Crazy.
You know,
well, he's actually leading the league in most yards per rush right now with 5.4 above Jamal Charles, Kyrie Robinson, and Arian Foster.
Is that after tonight?
No,
that was actually
tonight.
Coming into tonight.
Really?
He was leading. So now that he added 8.3, that's incredible.
Wow.
But I think
let me ask a question then. Do you think that Justin Forsett is kind of like the comeback player of the year?
Ooh.
Well, you know, I
that's a good question.
They got candidate for two of them. Steve Smith's having a good year too.
Yeah,
I think that's tough.
Yeah, no, I mean, I obviously he's putting up some really good numbers as we just discussed.
He's holding
his own. He's definitely on it. And especially, it's hard to come in there after your All-Pro running back is gone. You know, those are big shoes to fill. But, you know, I think he stepped up well in the absence of Bryce, and I would say he's a candidate maybe for comeback player of the year. I wouldn't give it to him so quickly, though.
Yeah,
it's early. But I think a lot of people think he's, so new to the league, like a rookie. But he's a vet. He's been around for a long time.
But he just has kind of bounced around from team to team.
Yeah, that's just the thing, getting in the right situation and, like, getting that opportunity to get out on the – because, there's no getting around it, too. There's – some gamers out there, you know. Obviously he puts in the hard work, but it was just fun to watch because he's had a crazy journey, you know. So it was really fun to watch him play tonight.
Yeah, he even said too in his post-game interview that, you know, before signing with the Ravens, he was about to, you know, he thought he was done with football. He was like, maybe I got to start getting a 9-to-5 or something, you know.
Yeah.
He was that close to being completely done, and you know, he decided to make that decision, and obviously it was a really good decision for him.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show what kind, like you said earlier, what kind of a coach Gary Kubiak is. He's, you know, runs the West Coast offense, which Steve Smith was saying this is like his fifth different kind of offense in his career that he's had to learn, and he feels like he, you know, can pick up these things really easily, and that he feels like he fits really well into this offensive, you know, pattern that they have going. So I think that is a testament to these players' successes as well. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
I definitely agree. I mean, I think you can also attribute that to just a bad Saints defensive effort tonight as well, why he shined. But, you know, obviously...
I think the effort was there. The execution was not...
They just struggled on one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
They could not match up with the Ravens at all.
Steve Smith was beasting. We'll just say that much.
Yeah.
And he that guy just has a grimace in his face when he, like,
well, okay, this is the quote that he said after the game. He says, "I love to look in the eyes of all of my victims, but before I take their lunch money."
Yeah, the guys
dying.
Got a kick out of that.
That's kind of
it was pretty funny.
That's kind of seemed like he was a bully though, like in school. You know, he would just come up to you because he's, you know, he looked like he suffered from like maybe short man complex.
Well, yeah, he's 5'9".
Exactly. So, you know, he always had to prove himself and be the tougher person. And you kind of see that when he plays as well.
Most definitely.
Because he feels like it's just, he always plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's always
angry.
But
it works. You know? In at least this season, it's been working for him very well.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. He does kind of play with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. But I mean, that's where the passion and emotion comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Dell had said earlier, you know, he uses that to motivate his team, you know. So it's not like he's... fighting against them. He's fighting with them.
I was in Carolina for, you know, a brief stint with Steve Smith, and I think one of my favorite players to be around, honestly. He was unreal. Like, just like he says there, I remember we were doing wide receiver drills, and I'm holding the bag. I was like, you know, I'll hold the bag for you. He's like, all right, well, if you're holding this bag, you're going to get popped in the mouth, you know, like,
wow.
Just like,
like,
I mean,
okay.
He attacks, but you gotta love it, and he's an intense guy, but he's a great person, you know, and that's something that, you know, you never want to see get lost,
right.
And like the battling, the fighting, whatever, he's an amazing person as well.
One thing you have to also say, he's not one of those prima donna receivers that doesn't block downfield on run plays. You can see him go in there and he just smash mouth and put his head down and he'll block the heck out of somebody to help, you know, break that RB loose. So you're like, this dude is about it.
Yeah, he's about it.
Yeah, he's about that life.
You
played for Carolina for a little bit, so what do you think? I don't know. I may be reaching on this thought, but do you think the kind of overall mentality and just the environment there maybe is just not necessarily the best environment for players? I mean, you see Cam Newton struggling right now. They're not really doing very well as a team. Steve Smith, obviously, you know, there was a lot of issues when he was there.
I don't think that. I really don't think that at all. Like, every situation, there's always change. So there's always a growth period and there's always an adjustment period. And whether it's a change in offense, you know, like coordinator, head coach, whatever it is, a general manager, they're going to bring in their own guys. So I think, you know, with that, they have a completely different receiving core. Like, you know, some of the guys who were there, like Ted Ginn in Arizona, you know, guys who had great LaFell, like they changed up their offense a lot. You know, Carolina's got a lot of talented players. I don't think that, you know, anything's gone. I think it's just an adjustment, finding the right fit, finding the right mix of players. But they're talented, and, you know, at the end of the season, you know, they're right there potentially to be able to do some things, but, you know, they'll figure it out.
Now, I was going to say, you know, Steve Smith, when he was on the Panthers, he kind of stepped into that leadership role because he's the veteran. He obviously is a gifted athlete. He knows, with Carolina now and with Smith's absence, do you think Newton is doing a good job at being a leader, or do you think maybe he needs to step up his leadership skills there?
I think Cam is, you know, I definitely think he's a leader. He might not be as outspoken as some other people or people would like him to be. And you just got to know that there's a lot of things that go into it. And there's so many things that go on behind the scenes. And that's what's tough, you know, with football. Like, it's easy to place blame on, like, this guy, like, that guy. But there's a lot of variables. So, you know, I think Cam is an amazing talent. He's a great person, a great player. And whenever you have someone like that on your team, you know that, you know, if it's a rough season, okay, the next season things can be amazing. If you look at Carolina the previous year, you know, Ron Rivera, it was on his way out the door, they thought, then he got coach of the year. So that's one thing. Things can change in an instant in this league. There's a lot of talent. It's just finding, you know, just the right mix of players and changing a few things. The game is won off of turnovers and big plays. Right. And that's what kept New Orleans in the game tonight.
That's right.
Completely. So if you can make those happen, whatever way it fits into your scheme or, turnovers and big plays, you've got a chance to have a lot of success.
I think Cam Newton, and we talked about this earlier this season, I think Cam Newton is one of the most talented quarterbacks yet to be proven to be elite. Once he gets some years under his belt and he gets some more wins under his belt, and they can figure some stuff out down there. But as far as raw talent as a quarterback, I think this guy's one of the most talented guys in the league.
Yeah, I may have to beg to differ as far as just raw talent as a QB. Yeah. I think RG3 definitely just raw athleticism.
He's always broken.
He is.
But we're not talking about raw athleticism. I'm talking about talent as a quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
like
just someone who can do it all.
What he came into in North Carolina, like, if he would have been given a better team, he maybe could have had that growth by now.
Right.
But he, you know, was given a situation that was, you know, not the greatest to start with.
He killed it as a rookie,
but
too.
But that's what I'm saying.
In.
He killed it when he came
in. Yeah, he killed it.
So for him to go through.
Breaking all kind of rookie records and everything.
All right, like, well, Dale, you mentioned you have some other positive things going on outside of football. You want to talk about some of that with us?
And So, you know, obviously still training. Football is a priority. Really starting to get into the modeling and entertainment industry. Print commercial work. It's just something that I really, you know, I enjoy. It's so different than football. And I've caught so much crap from different teammates already. Like, man, what you doing walking on runways, doing all this? But, you know, for me, it's not really about, like, the image. Like, I don't really care what other people think. If it's something I want to do, you know, I'm going to do it.
Get that money, boy.
You got to get that money.
Get that money.
Got to have options. So
yeah.
LA is a great place to be, you know. So I've met some great people who put me in good positions. And it's kind of refreshing going after something that I don't know. And, like, in that world, like in athletics, I've always, you know, been that guy. And this one, I'm creating something from scratch. But, yeah, so I'm doing that, and
it's a totally different animal.
It is,
even though it's all entertainment. It's another animal to tackle. It's the sensibilities and everything's a little bit different.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've been watching America's Next Top Model.
I was gonna say Keith. I hope he wins.
You're right, Keith Carlos. He played for the Giants and he played for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
he was a receiver and. He's doing really well. He's like in the top four right now.
Yeah.
And he's being projected to either win or at least be in the final two. Now, this is a guy who stepped out of, you know, athletics and whatever, and is like, I'm just going to go for what I know and just start modeling and start doing his thing. So, and he's doing well, and I think he's going to work a lot.
Two challenges in a row and got best photo.
I gotta brush up on my American Best Top Model.
Yeah, I guess me and Steph are the only ones that are lost right now.
I love that show.
It's a good show. It's a good show. But that just goes to show.
The two of them watch it.
I cover it here at AfterBuzz TV. Yeah, you guys can catch me here on Mondays.
Hey, check it out.
Right before this. That's why he's always late.
The NFL is a great platform, though. It is. And if you can leverage that, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of players need to start realizing. You know, I've had, you know, ups and downs, but if you can leverage that, you can have a lot of success, and you don't have to break down so many doors in different fields. So you know, and that's, you know, that's something that, you know, I've utilized, and I've had success, and I'm not where I want to be, but I definitely know I'm in the right direction.
Yeah,
and football is my number one priority, you know, no question about it. But I'm more than just a football player. I'm more than just an athlete. So if I can make an impact and do things I love and then also affect people in a positive way outside of it, you know, I'm going to do it. So
that's awesome. Speaking of affecting
politicians.
It's a crazy game because there's a buddy of ours that came and he guested here, not on this show, but on another show, another sports show we did. His name is Derek Hagan, and he's like one of the all-time leading receivers for Arizona State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was a free agent when he came in here right before the season. He wasn't picked up. He didn't know. He was like, I'm just waiting. And he finally got picked up by the Titans like right before the season.
Yeah.
So that's where he's at. But, you know, it is that game. And it's like when you're waiting to get picked up and you don't know what's going to happen, then you kind of want to have your ducks lined up just in case.
Yeah.
You know, because he was like, well, it might be going into the commentating world. So we actually had him as a guest commentator here a couple times just because he was like, well, I wouldn't mind stepping into that. You know, obviously I played sports for years and he's an articulate guy, good smile, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you definitely, it's smart that you're actually exploring other possibilities of potential that you have.
Yeah, because when it stops, it stops, you know, athletics. And, you know, I do feel that I'll have, you know, the opportunity to sign back on with the team. But you just got to be prepared. And then, I don't know. But it's exciting for me. I'm not stressing. I'm staying in shape. And I'm having fun. So.
Yeah.
Now, real quick, though, you were telling me earlier how Dana was like.
Go ahead.
Real quick, you explained earlier something I really admire, you know, about the fact that you're using the NFL brand to influence and give back and do things, you know, with the community and kids and things of that sort. What were some of the ideas or what were some of the things that you wanted to, you know, that you wanted to get involved with?
Yeah, so my biggest thing, excuse me, you know, I want to have success in, you know, the modeling, the acting, you know, all these things. It's something I enjoy, but, you know, I really want to utilize it, have success in this field, but then I want to go back to the NFL and really try to work with players and educate them on just utilizing what you have when you have it, you know, striking while the iron's hot, utilizing, you know, this platform to have success in so many other fields, because it's foreign to everybody. You know, all you know is athletics your whole life.
Yeah.
And no one tells you, like, yeah, you're in the NFL, you know, do this, but they don't really educate you on how you can use that brand, because you're beating up your body, you're tearing it down, you know.
Yeah, by the way, just make sure, just pull it back a little bit now. It's
now
a little
back
too close.
A little bit. My bad. Yeah. But, you know, that's one of my goals, and it's going to take some time, but I'm definitely on the right path. But I want to go back, and I want to educate players who have been in positions of, you know, I've got countless friends who have been in the league for years, and they don't know what to do. They can't fill out a resume, you know, or they don't have a resume, because you don't have a resume in the real world. You can't just put, like, football, you know, but you can use that to make a lot more things show up on there. So that, and then, you know, just different charities, foundations. You know, my sister's disabled, and that's something that, you know, I really want to start giving back to. I don't know, but just making an impact. You know, I have a goal, I have a mission, and it's bigger than football, it's bigger than modeling, it's bigger than acting, you know. So
hey man,
that's great that you have that motivation, man. And that's something that's personal that actually drives you.
Yeah.
And what actually help you, you know, giving back is, you actually end up receiving by giving back. It's just like the natural spiritual law. But you don't actually give. When you give from a place where you're not trying to get back, then that's when you really receive, which is really funny.
And giving generously.
Yeah, and it's good that you want to give back and educate some of the players, because everybody knows the NFL stands for not for long.
Yeah, it's fast.
And, you know, and a career.
And I'm not, you know, by no means a primetime player, but, you know, I'm smart and, shoot, I've been at the low points and, you know, I've been at high points, so if there's anything I can do, you know, I think that's like my due diligence to give back to, you know, different teammates or part of the union, you know. So
that's awesome, man.
Last question: what if the Jets wanted to sign you?
Chalk it up. I'm, you know, let's sit me down. Let's
wait,
go over.
The even I'll more important question, because this is on my bucket list to watch on the field.
Yeah.
Like, if you get signed with the Jets, can I come watch?
You can come watch.
All of us.
Sideline passes, everything. We're going to the club after.
I'll be a Jets fan if Dale gets signed to them.
You said, and what number would you wear?
13 is my number. Lucky number 13. Kind of like Stevie Johnson does.
That's right.
49ers.
One word to describe Odell Beckham Jr.'s catch.
I don't know if I can say a word that describes it. Yeah. Unreal.
Unreal. Perfect.
All right, so let's get into predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Predictions. Where's our music?
Alexis, where you at?
That's all right. I got you. Prediction. Prediction. Prediction.
Yep.
Get it.
There we go.
I like the light effect. This is nice. Prediction time.
Let me talk for a second? Jeez.
Oh, prediction. Wow.
Yes, every week we predict, obviously, next She's Monday demanding. Night football.
She is demanding.
I am the host of this show, and I'm just trying to get a few words out here. We predict next Monday game, obviously. Don't do it, Kevin. I seriously will throw something at you. And then we also predict the teams that played tonight, so the Ravens and the Saints, whatever team they play next, we'll pick who we think is going to win those games too. So we'll start with next Monday is the Dolphins at the Jets. Who are you taking?
Dolphins.
Yeah. Where is it?
Jets, Dolphins.
It's in wherever they play.
New York.
Jets.
Jersey. MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Saints at Steelers.
Oh, wow. That's tough. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. And the reason why, their run game. I mean, Bell is...
He's, smart choice.
You know, at Michigan State, he was a beast. You know, he's great NFL running back. They got the 1-2 punch. I think I got Steelers on that one.
Nice.
I agree. And then Ravens versus Chargers.
Where is it?
Ravens.
No. Doesn't matter. Huh?
Chargers are going to win.
Is it in San Diego?
No.
That's all I said. Doesn't matter.
I think the Ravens. I think the Ravens are playing well right now. They put on a good show tonight. But you know, I'll go with their defense and their defensive line against the offensive. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I got a lot of good, you know, good friends with the Chargers. I got Ravens on that one.
Okay.
All right. What's the next one? Steph, those were the three. Dolphins at Jets, we already know who you're picking.
The Jets.
Saints at Steelers.
The Jets are going to win, and they're going to beat the team that beat you 37-0.
This is a reoccurring thing,
37-0. Yeah, that's the only thing she has to say.
I guess she's so perturbed, and
well,
I love
because
it.
It's just the Jets are so bad that it's just like that one loss. She's the only thing she can bring up, but my team is much better.
She's so bad.
We're probably going to make it to the playoffs.
She's so bad.
But you know what I just thought of? Good teams don't lose 37-0.
You're so annoying, Kevin.
And I'm going to pick the
Saints
Ravens.
At Steelers. Did you choose?
I already chose the Steelers.
Okay,
and
then you take
the Ravens.
Okay, so Kevin, go ahead.
We all picked the Steelers last week.
Yeah, we all picked the Steelers already.
Because so remember, they have a bye this week, so we already...
We all picked the Steelers. Okay, so Kevin, Dolphins or Jets?
Do I need to answer that? Dolphins.
Okay. And I'm assuming you're taking the Ravens?
Yeah, oh, especially after the game tonight. They got a lot of momentum going in.
Thaddeus?
I kind of want to make a Jets bet.
I wanted to go with them, too.
I kind of want
to
go with the Jets.
I wanted just to be like, J-E-T-S, Jets, but it just didn't feel right.
It's in New York.
I heard it.
I'm going to go with the Jets this week.
Yeah. They don't even know where their starting quarterback is going into next week right now.
I mean, okay, anyways, great. The Raiders won last week.
Ravens or Chargers.
So,
hey, that's a good team.
Anyway, I'm going to let you have one team in the Bay, and that's San Francisco, and that's it.
Ravens or Chargers?
Ravens.
All
Ravens
right.
and Steelers. Ravens, Steelers,
well,
Jets.
Well, we can share it together, considering we're the only two that ever show up to watch the game together.
Hey, I'm sorry that I...
Anyway, moving on.
I want the Dolphins and the Chargers, obviously.
Okay, so let's talk about where our records are so far based on these past picks.
Did you pick the Ravens or the Saints tonight?
I picked the Ravens.
He did?
Did he?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Of course, they won.
You two had the same picks.
Yeah.
And I picked the Eagles, so I'm with you guys. I was 1-1, and he lost both.
Of course.
Tyler, what was
all right, we're going to have to bring up our standings next, because we're being told to wrap, so...
I'm still a game up.
You need that box off the Chappelle Show to wrap it up.
Yes, so Dale Moss, thank you so much for being here with us.
I appreciate y'all having me on. This was fun.
Tell everyone where they can find you, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, your website.
Dale Moss on Instagram is DaleMoss13, Twitter at Dale Moss, officialdalemoss.com. Check me out.
Yes, nice. Thank you. Word. And the rest of you guys, tell them.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Steph Z with an F.
Yup.
And you can find me on, that was an intense F. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at HeyKevinJohn or on my website, www.itskevinjohn.com.
Club Thaddeus, Instagram, Twitter.
Boom.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Tina Kapp. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
Was that the Charger guns?
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Really?
They're 7-4, yeah.
Damn. Buzz you later. I suck.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.